Well, it's great to be able to share with you again this morning, this Sunday after Global Focus and the Sunday before Easter. Last weekend was busy, but it really was fantastic. I was so blessed, church, by just your response to the Lord and just your response in terms of supporting the event in both giving, in attending, in serving. It really was amazing. And I tell you, I have heard nothing but great feedback. Many of our ministry partners spoke to me on the Sunday before they left and just remarking to me about how much this church has meant to them. Some of them even saying that they're in the ministry still because of this church and the things that happen on that weekend. Many expressed to me kind words about just the quality of the church and of you as people. I was pretty proud just to hear the great things that were said. And a lot of these people have experience in a lot of different places and a lot of different churches. And they're telling me, you're doing something right there. And so I praise God for that. He's helping us. Church, I want to say to you this morning that I'm excited by what God is doing in Harvest City Church. I feel we are gaining momentum as a church. I feel we are entering into a season of breakthrough, a season of greater vision, and a season of fulfilled promises. At the beginning of this year, we took a few days of prayer and fasting as a church, and we had some special nights of prayer. And on the first night of prayer, one of our pastors, Gary Williamson, read a portion of Scripture to us as a prophetic declaration to inspire our prayers. The verses that he read were found in Isaiah chapter 54, verses 2 and 3. I want to read them to you this morning. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. In the New Living Translation, a translation I love to read because it's simple English and I can understand it, it says it this way: enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. As Gary read those scriptures that night, I felt like God began speaking to me through them. And I want to challenge you with what I felt God put on my heart. If some of you were at the worship and prayer night that Saturday of those nights of prayer, I shared some of this with you then, but I feel led to expand on it and to share it with a larger congregation this morning. 3 years ago at our Global Impact Celebration, just like we had this past weekend, on the opening night, Peter Kasarivu was speaking that night as well. And in his message, he had this short message, and he talked, to be honest with you, I don't really remember much about the message, okay? I hardly remember what I preached 2 weeks ago. But he did say something in his message. He talked about this, he used this phrase, retiring. But he wasn't talking about retirement where you cash in your RRSPs and head off to Phoenix for the winter. He was talking about retiring in the sense of changing from one type of tire to another type of tire. Some of you might remember that. And that night, as I closed the service, and actually, to be honest with you, he caught me by surprise because he only preached for about 10 or 15 minutes, and we were expecting a little more. And so I got up there kind of thinking, Lord, what am I supposed to do here to wrap up the service? It doesn't feel like we're quite done. And I remember that as I stood sort of behind this pulpit, suddenly the Lord just began to speak to me. I wish he would do that all the time, but on that night it just came. And I started prophesying to you as a church based off of Peter's message that God was retiring us as a church. Through our history, we had gone through some times of real pioneering. some very difficult terrain, so to speak, in terms of some of the things that we had gone through to get us to this point. And I, as I was standing on that stage, I felt that in that moment that we were entering into a new season of acceleration. And because it was a season of acceleration, God was going to retire us. And He was going to change our tires from those that were used for off-roading to get through difficult terrain to racing tires. Racing tires are designed for speed. They're designed for acceleration. And as I prophesied, I felt like God was saying things to us like what used to take us 5 years would take us one, because it was a season of acceleration. I forgot about that until just a few months ago. I felt like the Lord brought that word back to my mind. And even as Gary was reading that portion of scripture, it came back to me. And I started thinking about what is happening right now, presently in our church. In the last 2 or 3 years, we have really moved forward in the area, in many areas, things like media and communications and newcomer assimilation and other church systems. Last year, we saw our church grow in Sunday attendance by an average of 77 more people on a Sunday, a 12% growth. Our Sunday school ministry grew by 18% last year. We have never grown at such a rate in the history of our church. Our life groups have seen significant growth in terms of people joining as well. There are many areas of growth that I could speak to this morning. It used to be rare only 3 years ago for us to break 700 on a Sunday. We've already broken 900 on a Sunday twice in 2019. Church, God has indeed changed our tires. We're in a new season. And the scripture in Isaiah that I read at the beginning speaks about growth and speaks about enlargement. And the exhortation that comes with it is to strengthen your pegs. And to me, that is talking about the systems that handle the growth. If there's going to be growth, if there's going to be increase, there's going to be a straining on those pegs. And so those pegs have to be pounded down into the ground a little more securely. And so as a leadership team, we've been working hard to do that. We've had many strategic planning meetings, and we've taken many action steps over the last couple of years. As the increase comes, and as we lengthen those cords, we've got to ensure that the pegs can hold the pressure. And I believe God is helping us with that. He's giving us wisdom on how to do that. He has brought some strategic key people to help us in some key areas in our church to drive those pegs in deeper. But this morning, I don't want to talk so much about the pegs. There was one word in that verse that as Gary read it that night, it was like the Lord just highlighted it to me. It jumped out off the pages, and it was the word stretch. Stretch. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, Isaiah said. And I feel like this is God's word to us this morning in the season that we are in the church. I believe that God is asking us to stretch ourselves for growth and for the harvest that He wants to give us. The acceleration and the continued growth will be limited unless we are willing to stretch. I want to say to you that our comfort is going to be stretched as we have to change the way we do some things, as we face the challenges that growth brings. Over the last few months, we've been talking about our vision as a church. We've been talking about the fact that we want people to come through our doors and find the hope that only Jesus can bring. We want people to experience His transformation in their lives. We want to see everyone become active participants as they discover God's call on their lives. We want to see you live your call. It's a great vision, and I know that it has really resonated with you. living your call. Man, that sounds awesome. It speaks to the fact that we've got a purpose for our lives, that we have something special to accomplish. It's exciting. And this vision isn't just for individuals. It's also for us corporately. God has a call upon this church that is unique, that He wants us to live. And I love it when guests like our ministry partners come last weekend and they speak about what they see here that's unique, and when they see what God is doing here. Church, I don't think I need to convince you this morning that God is up to something. Do I have to convince you? I think you see it. And I see many of you wanting to be a part of that. There's a growing excitement. There's a growing sense of anticipation. Where can I get my Live Your Call t-shirts? Enlargement, expansion, and acceleration, living your call. Man, these are awesome things. They're great goals. It's a great vision. But if we're going to move forward, if we're going to grow, if we're going to live our call both as individuals and corporately, I tell you, it will not happen without a stretch. Now, maybe the word stretch sounds relaxing and nice. You know, when I roll out of bed in the morning and I'm a little stiff, some of these, oh, that feels nice. But if you ask me to bend down and touch my toes, about here it's not bad. Here it's really hurting. And if I go much further, I might not be able to straighten back up. There was a time when I could touch those toes. I also used to be able to see them a lot easier when I looked down, but that's a whole other point. But there's that point when I bend over where my hamstrings tell me that is far enough. It's too much pressure to go any further. You see, stretching can be painful as we go beyond what we're capable of. Every stretch involves resistance. The more I stretch, the more discomfort I can be in. But there's this other thing about stretching. The more you do it, the more you can stretch. And the less you do it, the more you seize up. I've experienced that as I've gotten older in my life. Less active, less stretching, more sedentary. And you start to seize. I tell you, church, we are where we are today as a church because this church has been willing to stretch. Without the willingness to stretch, a destiny is never achieved. A call is never lived. Without the willingness to stretch, a destiny is never achieved, and a call is never lived. One of my favorite stories of stretching in this church involved the purchase of this building. As many of you know, there was a time when this church was $2 million in debt and on the verge of bankruptcy from a building project that had gone bad and other reasons. My father moved to Regina in response to God's call to help this church navigate the crisis. It was a huge stretch for him and a great example of the stretch that was required in order for him to live his call. I mentioned this earlier a few weeks ago. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened had he not been willing to do that. I don't think he would have ever become the man with the level of responsibility and the weight that he's carried if he hadn't done it. I wonder what would have happened to me. It was a stretch. By the grace of God, most of you know the story, they paid off the debt and were able to purchase an elementary school that was our building, and that's a whole story in itself. But as we grew to the point where that building was no longer going to suffice, a larger facility was required, and therefore a tremendous stretch also. And this building here, at that time, became available to bid on. And some of you know this story, but at that time, the leadership were really in a bind. I was just a young man in my 20s, early 20s. Of course, this building was significantly larger than the last one. It also needed some repairs. It was going to cost a whole lot more in utilities. Our church was much smaller than we are presently. And so there was a big question at that time as to whether we could even afford to run the place if we could afford to buy it. One thing was for sure. We couldn't afford it unless we sold our present building. And that's where it got interesting. You see, in order to win the bid, and there was others that wanted this building, and we knew that. There was developers that wanted to buy this building, tear it down, and build an old folks' home. And there was another school that was a Christian school in town that was bidding on the building. And we knew that if we were going to get the bid, that our bid had to be strong enough. And that meant we were going to have to bid without conditions. We couldn't bid on the condition that our present building would sell, or we wouldn't win it. But here was the problem. You would submit the bid, and there would be several months that would go by before they would decide whether you got the bid, so you wouldn't know for several months. And once you found out that you got the bid, you had 30 days to pay up. And if you didn't pay, you could be sued. Well, if we put our building up for sale in those months before the bid was finalized and sold the building and we didn't win the bid, we'd be homeless. And so we were going to have to put a bid without conditions in faith that if we did win the bid, that we could sell our present building within 30 days. And after 30 days, we'd have to pay up. And you've got to remember, this church had a history of a bad building project. $2 million in debt that we had just come out of by the grace of God. And so tremendous pressure. What if this isn't God? What if we miss it and we go back into this debt? And what are we going to do? And I can remember as a young man in my 20s just hoping we would do it. Because I had heard my dad tell stories about how we had built our building in Swan River and how they'd given all their money away and how God had done this miraculous thing. But I was a little kid then, and now I could understand this, and I wanted to see God do something. I wanted to see it presently, not just in the past. And I was full of faith, and my neck wasn't on the chopping block. I know what that pressure would be like now on this side of it. I probably didn't appreciate the half of it, but I remember him having conversations with my mother and just the anguish that he was in. Our whole leadership team was. I remember the night that they had agreed to come together to have a vote. Are we in or not? And my dad said, he put a hat on the table and he put some pieces of paper around the table and said, write yes or no. We've had enough talking. What are we going to do? Throw your vote in the hat. I was praying in the library. They were only in there for about 15 minutes. Everyone had voted yes. My father came to tell me and I was so excited. All right. Well, my dad would tell you that over those months, part of him was praying that we would win the bid, and part of him was praying that we wouldn't win the bids. And yet knowing we had to, because we needed to expand. And of course, we won the bid, and we put our building up for sale, and it didn't sell within 30 days. But then some things got delayed, and we got more time, and a couple months went by, and eventually, we had to pay the cash. And our building hadn't sold. And my father marched down to the bank to take out a mortgage that we couldn't afford. And 2 weeks later, our building sold. We paid $2,000 worth of interest, and that was it. And we've kept the lights on all these years by the grace of God. By the grace of God, and fixed the building up and built an addition and all these things. But I say that to you, church, to remind you that we are where we are today because of a willingness to stretch. What if we had not have stretched? I don't believe all that we've been enjoying today would have been realized. Not a chance. Not a chance. Now, remember a number of years ago having a conversation with my dad as we were going through this transition of the lead pastor role here at the church. My dad and I were talking about all the sacrifices that had been made by the various leaders and individuals in this church during some of those more difficult years. We were talking about the pioneer spirit that has always been a part of this church. Essentially, what we were talking about was all the people. Excuse me. We were talking about all the people that had been willing to stretch beyond what was comfortable in order to take hold of the vision that God had given them. My dad said to me in that conversation, he said these words to me. He said, "Joel, my greatest concern as I look forward is whether the upcoming generation will have the same willingness to sacrifice as the previous." He said, "In my generation, our survival," he was talking about this church, "our survival was dependent upon it. Without sacrifice, we weren't going to survive. We had no choice. But now, by the grace of God, we've built a strong church. And it would be easy for your generation to get comfortable." And he asked me this question: "Will you be able to maintain the pioneer spirit? Will your generation be willing to sacrifice as the previous in order to continue to move forward?" He said, "If you don't, you'll never take the church to the next level. You'll maintain for a while, and then you're going to go into decline." I want to tell you, church, I've never forgotten those words. And I hope that the answer will always be a yes. You see, as God has us on a journey of enlargement, that means that He has us on a journey of continual stretching. If we will keep going, if we will keep stretching, we will discover a capacity that we will one day say, "We touched our toes. We never thought we could do that." But if we don't, we'll go into decline. When you stop stretching, you start seizing. And I've seen many people lose their effectiveness. Many ministers of the gospel who at one time in their life were amazing and having incredible fruit and an incredible ministry lose their effectiveness after a certain level of growth because they feel or they felt like they had accomplished something and they no longer felt the desire to stretch anymore. It's just, "I did that once. I don't need to do it again." I tell you, those people don't finish well. If you stop stretching, you start dying. It's one of the reasons why I love the story of Caleb in the scripture so much. That was a man at the end of his life who was still stretching. "Joshua, you promised me, Moses promised me a mountain. And I'm still ready to take it on. I'm still as vigorous today as I was 40 years ago. Give me my mountain." That was a man who was still stretching at the end of his life. And I want to challenge you this morning with this question. Are you willing to stretch for what God has for you? Have you grown comfortable and stopped stretching? There is no live your call without a stretch. And I believe that as we stand in this time of acceleration and growth, that God is asking us to stretch in a number of areas. Let me give you some quickly this morning. I feel like God is, first of all, asking us to stretch our faith. God wants to stretch your faith to believe for the impossible.
Faith implies risk. It is moving forward with your eyes on God, not your circumstances. God's promises are received by faith, and I've discovered that faith is a muscle that increases when you stretch it. Abraham became the father of many nations, even though it was impossible. In the beginning, he tried to do it on his own, and didn't go so well. But then he made a decision to trust God, and the scriptures say this about it, that Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. God stretched Abraham's faith right to the limit. Right to the limit. Even after his son was born, after winning this battle of faith and coming to this place where he said, okay, Father, I believe. I'll have a son, and the son is born. Then God comes and says, kill it. Sacrifice the son of promise. Stretching his faith again. And Abraham was willing to do it because he believed that God would raise him back again. And church, as I go forward in my life, I find that I am constantly faced with impossible situations. And those situations will either cause me, my faith, to be stretched, or I'll make a decision to stay comfortable. But I'm not comfortable being comfortable. And I don't ever want to be comfortable being comfortable. I want all that God has for me personally, and so I choose to push forward. I choose to believe, even in the impossible situations. And I find that as I hit those impossible situations, that my faith continues to grow and grow and grow. I have more faith to believe God for finances today than I did 10 years ago, than I did 5 years ago. Why? Because I've seen God give us $2.5 million. I've seen God give me $25,000, $50,000 checks in the last few years when it was impossible. I've seen a ministry lift, evangelistic ministries rise from nothing. $100,000 a year budget paid for every year. I've seen God do the impossible. But the other day I was standing in my office. You know it's the one with all the trophies in the window right now. I was standing in the office and I was looking out over the parking lot. And I just heard God say to me, what do you see? Do you see a parking lot? Or do you see an auditorium? What do you see? Do you see thousands coming to Christ, Joel? Do you see a church having an impact on a city? Do you see a church having an impact on the nations? The nations coming, people going. What do you see? And I knew in that moment that God is stretching my faith. That is a level of faith beyond anything that I've ever had to stretch for. That is impossible. Except we have a God who does the impossible. Except we have a God who does the impossible. And I've discovered more and more that the impossible is a lot more possible than what I thought it was. Because of who our God is. And I don't know the time, and I don't know the hour. I just know that this building keeps getting fuller. More full. What's the English, Tanya? More full. Starting to feel the squeeze, and people are asking me, what are we going to do? Are we going to a third service? Or pray for us, church. I don't know what the answer is exactly. I just know this. It involves. That's what I know. And now my neck is on the chopping block. I feel the pressure. Church, God has some impossible things ahead for you in your own personal lives. It's part of living your call. Will you stretch your faith to believe it and possess the promises? I believe that God wants to stretch you in your area of service. God is asking some of you to stretch in areas of volunteering, in areas of ministry. As God grows us, we need more Sunday school teachers. We need more coffee ministry people. We need more guest services people. We need more chair crew people. We need more youth workers. We need more life group leaders. We need more everything. And here's the question. Are the same people who are doing it now just going to do more? I tell you, they'll pull a muscle. They'll stretch beyond what they're capable of. But if new ones make themselves available, and new people come on board and say, you know what? I'm ready to serve, Pastor. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. We can do it. We can do it. Perhaps some of you are waiting for your big call. I'm going to live my call. And you haven't realized that the call of God is often discovered by simply allowing God to stretch you in the area of need. Where's a need? Meet it. Let God stretch you there and you'd be amazed at where that ends up in your life. I think another area where God wants to stretch us in is the area of generosity. Talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is a generous church. We proved it once again last week. But I believe in order to go where God is taking us, we will have to stretch even more in our giving. Living your call requires resources. Giving, of course, is tied to faith. Can you believe God that if you stretch in your giving, that God will provide for you as He says He will? Paul challenged the Corinthian church with the example of the Macedonian believers. They were willing to be stretched in their generosity. This is how he described them. He said, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. That doesn't make sense. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, that's comfortable, and beyond their ability, that's a stretch. Entirely on their own. I didn't beat them to do it. They pleaded with me, Paul says, for the privilege of sharing in their service to the Lord's people. They had such a heart to see the kingdom of God expanded that even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of poverty, they begged, said, we're willing to be stretched beyond what we can even do naturally. And we have people like that in this church. And I believe God wants to challenge us to keep stretching. For some, that means giving beyond their tithe. For others, that means a decision to tithe for the very first time. For some, it's giving to Global Focus and believing for more, helping a family in need. I don't preach very many giving sermons in this church. You know that. And I don't do it a lot because, unfortunately, there's been a lot of manipulation and things like that in this whole area, and I don't want to even touch it sometimes. I have no desire to ever twist somebody's arm to give something. Not sure if I should say this, but somebody new to our church told my parents the other day, this kind of made me laugh, that they waited after the service to see what car I would get into. And they were shocked to see me get into my little Chevy Sonic. And it made them want to come back. I guess I'll always be driving a Sonic or something like that. That made me laugh. I give a lot of money to this church. God has really challenged Ange and I to stretch over the years in our giving. And we're fine with driving the Sonic because we'd rather see the kingdom of God advance. See, generosity is part of the heart of God, and if we are to become who He wants us to be, we must stretch ourselves in that area. Here's a fourth area where we need to to stretch ourselves, I feel. How about areas where we've failed? I remember the very first time I ever preached. It was in Kindersley, Saskatchewan. That's where I got my preaching debut, and it was a disaster. I was never invited back again. I didn't prepare. Angela was with me. We chatted the whole way there. She said, "What are you preaching on?" I said, "I don't know. I think I'll maybe share some testimony, or I don't know. It'll just come." Oh, it came. It was all over the place. I came home. I didn't want to do it again. Begged my dad, teach me how to preach. And you know that I wrestled with that for so long. I had to get back up again, church. If I wouldn't have, I would have missed my call. Our church failed in the first building project, so to speak. But we had to get back up again. And we had to risk again in the area of failure. Our destiny was dependent upon it. I believe this morning that for some of you, God is asking you to try again. God is asking you to risk again, believe again. Your failure is not your final destination. Go forward. Go forward. I love the story, and I think most of you know it, of Jonathan and his armor bearer. Remember when the army was down to 600 people, everybody else had deserted. The Philistines had invaded, and Saul was sitting under the pomegranate tree. To me, it speaks of comfort, sort of in hiding. And Jonathan says to his armor bearer, "Hey, let's go pick a fight with those guys. Let's crawl down the ravine and up the other side, and we got one sword between the two of us, but who knows if God will deliver them into our hands? Who knows?" And he does, and God gives an earthquake, and they rout the Philistines, and it inspires an army. And we love that story. And Jonathan, what faith. But if you go back in the story, you'll discover that the reason why the Philistines were all there was because Jonathan had picked a fight with them earlier, and it hadn't gone so well. He was the one who got them in so much trouble. And yet here he was again, saying to his buddy, his armor bearer, "Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder from the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." Jonathan had to stretch in the place of his failure. And because he did, he became a catalyst for breakthrough. I don't have time to go into these other ones. But what about in personal issues? Are there some areas that you face, some things that you need to let go of that are holding you back and limiting you that you haven't been willing to look at and to really face? What about in your prayer and devotional life? I tell you, church, God is challenging me here, and if I'm honest with you, I'm struggling a bit with it. I know I need to fast. I know I need to focus. We got some big things happening in June in Hoima and South Sudan. I want to see us go to the next level, and I know what God is saying to me. You need to get ready. Prepare yourself for the battle that you're about to face. Fast, pray. I hate fasting. Hate it. It's a stretch. But I know my destiny is tied to it. How about change, finally? Going forward requires change. Change makes us uncomfortable. Are you willing to embrace change? I'll conclude with this. The children of Israel were about to enter the promised land. Moses has died. They've spent their 40 years wandering in the wilderness. A new generation has emerged, a generation of faith. And Joshua is the leader, and they're standing on the banks of the Jordan River. And God has said, it's time. The Jordan River is overflowing its banks. It's the worst time, if there ever was a time, to cross it. It was in flood season. How they were going to get across, nobody knew. On the other side giants awaited, fortified cities awaited, impossible awaited. But God had said it was time to move. And so Joshua called the people to the banks of the river. And in Joshua 3, verse 5, he said these words to the people: consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do some amazing things amongst you. Tomorrow. Today is a day of consecration, because tomorrow you're going to see stuff you've never seen before. You are going to see God do the impossible. You're going to see God do the impossible. Church, I'm telling you, we are at the banks of the river, and I got a prophetic word for you. Tomorrow, we are going to see God do some amazing things. We are going to see God do the impossible. If we'll stretch. And today is a day of consecration. What does that mean? It means to set ourselves apart. It means to dedicate ourselves. It means to prepare ourselves. And this is what I feel God is asking us today, to say to Him these words: Lord, I know You're leading us into a season of promise, but there are giants in the land of promise that are going to stretch me beyond my comfort level. But Lord, here I am. I'm standing on the banks. I'm looking at that river. I'm looking at the impossible situations. But here I am, God. And I offer myself to You. I'm available. I'm telling You, I'm willing for You to stretch me. Father, I want to just thank You this morning for those that came before me. Right from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. My fathers and my mothers in the faith. I thank You for the rich legacy we have in this church of people who sacrificed, people who stretched, that allowed us to walk in what we're walking in today. Lord, there was a generation who brought us out of Egypt. Father, I believe that we stand at the banks of the Jordan today. We've begun to taste the promises of God. We see we're in a time of acceleration. We see we're in a time of blessing. But we also see, Lord, that we are in a time of stretching. Once again, You're asking this church to step to the line and to consecrate herself and say, oh Lord, We're willing. I know how that Jordan's going to part in front of me, but God, I'm willing to put my foot in and get it wet. I'm willing to put my foot in and get it wet. And I'll trust You'll take care of the rest. I don't know how that walled city is going to come down, but I'm willing to march around it. I'll join the army that believes. I'll join the marchers. I'll blow my trumpet. Count me in, Lord. Count me in. Stretch me. You're asking us to stretch so that Your name can be glorified.
It's not so Harvest City's name can be glorified. It's not so Joel Wells' name can be glorified. It's so that the name of Jesus can be glorified in this city. That the name of Jesus can be glorified in this city. You're asking us to stretch because there's hopeless and hurting people that need Jesus. You're asking us to stretch because it's your heart and desire that every tongue, every tribe, every nation would know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're asking us to stretch because your arms are open wide. You stretched wide for us, my God. Lord, next week we're going to celebrate the greatest stretch in the history of the planet. That's why you're asking us to stretch, oh God. Oh, Father God, I pray that we would have a spirit of volunteerism and service like we've never had in this church. And we've had an awesome spirit of volunteerism, but a new level. God, I pray that the generosity going forward would make the generosity of the past pale in comparison. Thank you, my God. Father, I thank you for those individuals this morning that you've called to do some amazing things. God, I pray for the grace today to push beyond what they're comfortable in, to grab a hold of the promise and believe. Father, I pray for those that are standing here this morning saying, Joel, I've already been stretched and I'm right in the middle of stretching. Why are you preaching about stretching? If I stretch one more inch, I'm going to pop a muscle. To them, oh God, I pray for the grace. You said that your grace is sufficient. Your power is made available in our weakness, right? When we feel like we can't stretch anymore, you have more grace. More grace. Supernatural ability to go beyond what we think we can do. To carry loads we couldn't carry. God, I ask for that kind of grace to be poured upon us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. I can carry what I couldn't carry because of Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, God, for your grace this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. We consecrate ourselves before you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.